Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome to, sorry, I had my mic messed up, and welcome to another episode of the Bravo Papers, Bravo Weekly News, here to talk about all your housewives, Vanderpump Rules, Summer House, all that good stuff. It's been a while since I've done a news episode. I was looking at my last notes, and they were like, May 3rd, and I was like, what? So I want to say my apologies for, you know, skipping my news episodes. Oh, May 13th. That was my last one. Okay, that's not as bad. I've just had some, a rough couple weeks. I'll just say that. And I'm not just saying that for real. It's been just levels of busyness, personal stuff, just the list goes on and on. And it's like, you know, when it rains, it pours. And that's real. I just finished recording my Vanderpump Rules after show episode. So that is up if you missed it for the reunion part two. Listen, it's not that long because the reunion part two was kind of, you know, wah, wah. But listen, we all know part three is going to be epic. At least just seeing like Ariana's reaction to finally seeing how all these people are talking about her. And I just know there's going to be way more content. And there's quite a bit of content in the news this week. So basically, it's asked, what's with the bad blood between Craig and Kyle? And Kyle's like, well, there's not really any bad blood. You know, this whole thing's been blown out of proportion. And I just want, when Kyle said that, I was like, oh, now it's going to be blown out. Now you're going to see what blown out of proportion is. Just wait. So basically, you know, he's like, well, I don't even think Kyle says, I don't even think there was an investment, because basically what Andy's asking about is that Craig supposedly invested in this other spritz company. Okay. So that was sort of like, oh, is there bad blood because Craig invested in a competing spritz company? But then Kyle's like, well, I don't even think there was an investment. So then Andy pushes back and is like, yeah, but he's like the front man for it. So he's like the front man, kind of like the face. And then Kyle's like, well, and then Kyle makes a comment about like, basically, well, we sell way more spritz than them. We're not even a spritz company. And he's like, check the numbers. It's public information. And they're like, and, you know, Andy and the other guy are like, okay, you heard it here first, you know. So then Kyle says, what really rubbed him the wrong way was the way that Craig handled it. Then Kyle says, you know, he's trying to take the high road, but not really, because then he tells us all this stuff. But he says, you know, he has a reputation of lying and he lied to me. And everyone's like, oh. And then Andy even makes a comment and he's like, you look legitimately upset about it. And okay, so basically Kyle says they launched Loverboy, their espresso martini, while they were all filming Winter House. And he's like, you know, Craig knows that we don't just do teas. He's like, you know, don't tell me that you just thought we were a tea company. And then Kyle says, if anything, the company that Craig just invested in took a page out of their book and launched a copycat a year and a half later. I'm not sure exactly what product that was, but that rubbed him the wrong way. Okay. So Kyle says, like, basically they sat down and had like a dinner or something where like him and Craig like to talk about like an investment in Loverboy. And then he kind of made it sound like, and then Craig, you know, after that, Craig turned around like the next day and was, you know, investing in this spritz company. So I guess Kyle feels as though Craig went behind his back about this and he's upset about it. Now, Jackie and Claudia, who are the hosts of the Toast podcast and who also are co-founders of Spritz. They obviously heard about this interview and went on their podcast and had some things to say about this. So they say that basically Loverboy doesn't even have investors, like Kyle's the sole owner. And they say that Craig approached Kyle before finalizing the deal with Spritz, telling him that, you know, if there was an opportunity to invest in Loverboy, then he would turn down the Spritz offer. But Kyle said there wasn't. Okay. So to give you a little bit more, basically Loverboy is Kyle's company. He does not take on new investors. They also said that he doesn't give equity to talent and co-stars, unlike Spritz. Okay, so we're throwing a little shade here. And that, I don't know if, I think what they said is that, if this is correct, that it's like he robbed his co-stars, I guess. in the sense of like, I guess not giving them any equity. I wonder if that was part of the issue with Carl. Like, I wonder if Carl wanted equity in Loverboy for all the like promoting, et cetera, that he was doing, like rather than just being like paid as an employee, but he wasn't getting it or it wasn't significant. I don't know. Anyways, I'm just making stuff up now. But anyways, Craig said if he could invest in Loverboy, like he wouldn't have invested in Spritz, but Kyle told him no. Okay, so we knew that. Basically, Kyle said to Ben that, so I guess Ben is Claudia's husband who also has, I think, sorry, I'm not like familiar with everyone's relationship, but I got that impression, who also is involved in Spritz. But basically Kyle said to Ben that he thought Claudia didn't like him while they were at a dinner. And, you know, basically Claudia says she doesn't feel like they're competing with Loverboy. You know, there's a million other Spritz companies out there. They said Kyle even placed an order for Spritz and they have receipts, and that Kyle even approached Spritz for a dinner and he paid for his own meal. So I guess I think what they're trying to say is that shows that like he approached them for a dinner, right? Because he paid for his own dinner. So I guess that, yeah. Basically, they said like they weren't thinking of Kyle. Right. Like they came up with this Spritz company. Tons of people have canned cocktail companies. And they said, yeah, Craig did take Kyle out for dinner ahead of the announcement to give Kyle a heads up and said he would go back on the investment in Spritz, all that stuff. But, you know, they said like he gave Craig gave Kyle the right of first refusal and he didn't take it. And they said it wasn't like the day before. It was, they said like more than that, like weeks or something before, and that they have receipts to back that up. And, you know, Claudia says that Ben didn't tell Kyle that Craig was investing because I guess Kyle's trying to say that's how he had to find out and that Kyle's timelines don't make sense and that they didn't copy Kyle's idea, which that I can get down with. I'm not that I'm not down with everything else. I don't know the ins and the outs, etc. I'm leaning towards everyone else except Kyle, only because Kyle just seems a little like psycho when it comes to Loverboy. I don't know if that's normal CEO behavior. I don't know what it is. But, and it's also just like, it's like this gatekeeping thing. Like he's trying to act like what he's doing with his company is so unique and different and whatever. And it's like, it's just not like, so there are so many canned cocktail companies and Spritz companies and just, and like canned whatever companies now, like it's a thing. That's probably, like, I honestly think that's why Loverboy is losing money now, because the market's oversaturated. It was like kind of like a big trend of the moment, and now the trend is dying down a bit and the next thing will come. And I'm not saying like canned cocktails are going to die and go away. They're still going to be around. I don't know if Kyle has made enough impression you know, to last beyond the trend. I don't know. It's been a trend of like the last 5 or so years, but like, is it going to keep going strong enough so that Loverboy can survive? I don't know. It seems like a lot of their revenue and success too is revolved around Summer House. Like, I do think, like, if I saw it at the store, which I never have, probably because I'm in Canada, but I've never seen it at the store. But if I did, I would buy it once just because I watched Summer House. That's the truth. And I'd probably never buy it again unless I really loved it, which I probably wouldn't because I'm just not a canned cocktail person. But like, there's just, I don't know. Okay. Anyways, sorry, I'll stop ranting. So Claudia says she's not sure what kind of company. So then there's some shade here. She says she's not sure what kind of company Loverboy is because they sell all sorts of types of drinks in a can. And she said, you know, she's not trying to clown on them because they're a good company. They're successful. But basically, Kyle would sell urine in a can if it made money. I was like, okay. I mean, that might be true, but I think a lot of people would to make money. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm here for this. Like, I am so jealous of just, I just want to be in whatever chat Paige is in right now with Craig and others that do not include Kyle. So bad. I mean, what I love about this too is this might unite. This might actually unite Paige and Lindsay more. Because Lindsay still, like, low-key has a vendetta for Kyle. Like, just after he... because he's been a complete asshole to her the last couple years. And he's gassing up Carl and enabling Carl and all that kind of stuff. So I just think I think Lindsay has always questioned the way that Kyle has gone about business with Loverboy. And I do think that, like, in some ways, I think Kyle has taken advantage of people like Amanda and Carl in his business. Now, I'm not saying Carl is an equal opportunity user because he uses Kyle in another way, right? Like, Carl uses Kyle as like, this is safe and easy because I'm too scared to do anything real. And I'm too scared, not that it's not real, but you know what I mean? I'm too scared to like try something on my own and fail because I have issues, right? But Kyle like kind of takes advantage of that. And of course he wants Carl because Carl has a lot of Instagram followers. He's famous. He's known, right? Like, he, you know, he's going to take Carl over some other rando, right? And I think probably he wasn't getting maybe the best deal. But then at the other side, Kyle had a point too, which was that, yeah, but no, who else is going to hire you? So you should be grateful you have anything, right? Like, they both did kind of have a point. You know, however, that's kind of the same thing that Kyle does with Amanda. Like, I think he like kind of verbally beats her down. Well, you're so lazy and you sleep in. So like, what other job are you going to do? Or, you know what I mean? Like, you've put this much into this, you can't leave now. Like, I think he kind of uses the business a little bit to sort of like manipulate and control. And it's like his entire, like, it's not just a business anymore. Like, it's like his entire being. I don't know. And I think Lindsay was, again, I really think Lindsay was right about a lot of that stuff. And I really think she was right about her concern of Carl going back. But guess what? It's not her problem anymore. So that's got to feel good. But I could, I'm really hoping this brings the girls together more for next season, because honestly, fuck Kyle. He was such a jerk on the last few episodes, especially about Amanda and her thing. And he's really pissing me off in the Summer House after show, the way he's been talking. And he was such a jerk on Watch What Happens. It was like the misogyny episode of the year. If you haven't watched it, don't. But I guess if you like getting angry, go for it. But you know, good. I want Craig and Paige to come after him. Let's do it. Maybe this is the push. Let's get Craig on Summer House. We got a new feud happening. And let's get popping, okay? As Lala would say. All right. So that was my little shade at Lala. Okay. Which, you know what? That's kind of one of the topics of today is Lala and her cultural appropriation. But we will get to that because we have one more Summer House news. So Lindsay explains on the Bitch Bible podcast. Lindsay explains what happened to her and Carl's apartment. So basically, she was in it after they broke up because, you know, she says everything got ripped out from under her and she wasn't just going to be like, okay, I guess now I have to also move tomorrow. So she stayed in it after the breakup and he left, which, yeah, that's what you should do, of course. But, you know, yes, Carl has issues and he's got a lot of bad qualities. I'm not saying he has no good ones, but he has some bad qualities. But he's not a narcissist, okay? He's not like Tom Sandoval level where he's staying in the house. Anyways, so, and again, it's a little different because they rent, obviously. But he still left, which is what the person who ends the relationship should do. That person should be ready. They should have a bad, you should know because you were planning the breakup, right? So if you were planning the breakup, if you know you're breaking up with someone and you've got a lease and you've got an apartment, you've got to be ready to vacate. It doesn't, even if the other person you're breaking up with is a complete piece of shit, I'm not saying that's Lindsay. I'm just saying that in any scenario, if you're the breakupper, you have to leave. Okay. Unless it's like they cheated on you and they don't want to break up and you do, that's different. Okay. But generally you have to leave. So he left. Okay. Is the point of that very long-winded tangent. So she was in it. She said one day, though, in early November, while she was in LA, he like must have just come in, you know, vacated because she got back. All his stuff was gone. And she was like, OK, I guess he found a new apartment. And she said they had just re-signed the lease a month before he broke up with her. Ouch. A month. And we know, what was that apartment? Like $13,000 a month. Oh, God. OK. OK. So she said, like, after he broke up with her, though, she was just in survival mode and she was not like in the mental space to be like apartment hunting, and that he did want that, though. Like he was trying to convince her to basically like talk to the landlord so they could break the lease and then they would both find new places. And she was like, no. And she wasn't going to leave. And I think that's fine. I mean, again, like those, that's kind of like the consequences of actions. And again, I'm not saying Carl did the wrong action by breaking up, but I do think he did the wrong action by proposing. And I do think that was kind of his fault. So she says he was expecting it, etc. Okay, that was it. So let's go to Vanderpump Rules. So Faith was on the Frequency podcast, which I think is her podcast, and she has a co-host. Sorry if I misspoke because I'm not 100% sure. Basically, they talk shit about Lala, which, love that. And and she says that, you know, they start talking shit about how Lala said she's like Tupac incarnated or whatever. And, you know, and the other host, I apologize, I don't know what his name is, but he says, he's like, so she's saying she's a black man on the inside. Like, what exactly? It is so messed up of her to say that. They accuse her of cultural appropriation, which I think is accurate. And I think a lot of people have been, I don't know why or how Lala has somehow gotten away with it for so long. Maybe it's just because she's brought like good drama and entertainment. I mean, we do overlook shit when people are entertaining. So I don't know. I don't know. And, you know, Faith says she sees the black lifestyle as like a costume that she can wear for fun. And obviously that's not what it is. And she tries to channel like black girl energy, and that there was a time where she said she was blacker than Faith, which is insanity. So basically the co-host tells this story that Lala wanted him. He was doing Faith's hair. And I think he was doing Faith's hair. Maybe it was someone else. Anyways, but Lala was like, well, can you do cornrows for me? Which, oh my God, okay. Can you do cornrows for me for Vegas? Because I guess she was going to shoot some sort of cover for the song that she had done with James, which if you go and look at the cover for it, she does have cornrows. it's embarrassing. And Faith's guy at the time was there. I guess like Faith's, I don't know. I felt like they meant a boyfriend, and that they say he was very quote unquote street, and he played some song and Faith didn't know the song. And Lala was like, damn, I'm more black than you. So that's where that quote comes from. The co-host also says that Lala was flirting with Faith's man, and also that she cheated on Randall with her ex-football player boyfriend, who was also Black, and that she's not really into white guys, which, oh my God, which I guess that kind of makes sense, given all her cultural appropriation and what we've seen on her more recently when she's like, when they were out at that bar last season, and then she sees those guys walk up and they're Black and she's like, oh, that's more my type. Like, she says something like that, I remember. And I was like, Lala, it's weird. Like, you're fetishizing, how do you say the word? Fetishizing? I'm not sure if I'm saying that word right. Anyways, so Faith was dating the football player guy's friend, right? And they went on like a double date. She said Lala and the guy then went into like a bedroom and had sex. And someone came to a door. I wasn't clear on where they were, but maybe like Lala's or a hotel. I don't know. But someone came to the door and was knocking, and Lala was like, don't answer it. And Faith is like, I think it was Randall. And basically the knife thing. So if you didn't hear, Faith has accused Lala of pulling a knife on her, and that this happened while cameras were rolling on Vanderpump Rules, but that it never made it to the show. And basically someone came. Oh, sorry. Basically, I lost my place. Faith made the mistake of telling James about this, and she admits that was a mistake because she's like, James cannot keep his mouth shut. And that got back to Lala because James obviously told Lala, and that was why Lala pulled the knife. So that's basically the story. But, you know, Faith says it's mostly because she was trying to look tough on camera, right? But I guess Faith was trying to warn James, like, don't, like, he was into Lala, like, don't get too caught up with Lala because she's like having sex with this other guy. Like, so yeah. Whew. This group, just the Vanderpump Rules group, both off and on camera. Listen, Lala, it's always been embarrassing. It just keeps getting worse and worse. And yeah, she should be called out on it. And I'm glad people are calling her out. So yeah, that was pretty cringe. And next, speaking of cringe, let's go to Sheena. So Sheena reacts to Jax saying that he doesn't want Sheena and Lala on The Valley. Well, it's not just Jax, Sheena, just a heads up. Sheena said that, okay, so this is Sheena like trying to talk herself down. She's like, well, it's just him who doesn't want us. And I'm like, yeah, him and like the whole audience. Like, I know she's talking about the cast of The Valley, but still. So she's like, well, it's just him who doesn't want us. And she's like, he doesn't want us on because we'll call him out on the shit that we know. No, you won't. Or maybe you will, but I don't care. We don't need people to call out Jax because we all know Jax is cheating and no one believes anything he says. So it's like, I don't know. It's just like she's trying to sell us herself. She's trying to like talk herself down because she knows that Vanderpump Rules is coming to an end. She knows she fucked up on her last season and that the audience is not on her side and that it actually could damage her chances of getting on The Valley. So she's trying to convince all of us. I've got secrets about Jax. I'll let it all out. I'll do this. I'll do that. You know, I'll make it worth it. So then we'll all want her. And then, you know, production and Bravo will see that and that they'll put her on. That's what's going on. Okay. Okay, so Sheena says that at first they used to say, like they being, sorry, Jax and Brittany, they used to say that they wanted Sheena on the show, and that was, and like Brittany and Jax were her biggest cheerleaders for that. And Janet says, yeah, well, like the reason the show works well, because Janet was a guest, Janet and what's her name, Michelle, were guests on it, and that it works because they're an authentic group and Sheena is authentically part of the friend group. And listen, I'm not saying that she's not. And they say Lala is too. Again, not saying she's not. However, I'm sure there's a lot of other people you're friends with as well. That doesn't mean that they all need to be main characters. Just saying. Okay. And, you know, and Janet's like, listen, if it works and the timing is right. And even Janet kind of sounds a little like just, I don't know. I just picked up on like the way that she was like, oh, if the timing is right, whatever. I was like, oh, does she also secretly not want it? Like, I really think the whole cast doesn't want it. because Sheena and Lala, at the end of the day, they're more recognizable and they have more quote unquote star power. And they will come on and they will steal the spotlight a little bit and they could get camera time and they are more seasoned reality stars and they might start pulling shit that Janet and the others don't know how to deal with. And yes, I know already we have Jax and Kristen, but that's another reason. They already have Jax and Kristen. Like, we don't need more of them. And look at how Jax and Kristen are on here, like trying to ruin all of our lives. Now we got you two coming in doing that for a check. Like, I think the rest of the cast probably doesn't want her. But they're never going to say it. Like, Michelle and Janet in this podcast interview were just like, because I watched it, they're just like nodding along. But I could tell by their faces. I'm like, these women do not want Sheena and like Lala on the show. I just don't think they do. Okay, so where was I? Sheena says the one thing she agrees with Jax, is that they don't need them. So she does say that. She's right. She's like, he's right. They don't need us. And I think that's killing her a little bit, that they don't need them, that the show did so well. And that people are like, we don't need you guys. We don't want you, like the audience per se. Sheena also says this is a different topic, by the way. I have like five more points of things that Sheena has said, unfortunately. Sheena also says in a quote, Brittany has not thrown up since she separated with Jax. I just had to say that because it's such a funny quote. I wanted to be like, I bet you all Jax's exes can say the same. Since I broke up with him, all of a sudden I stopped throwing up. It's a miracle. You know what causes ulcers as well, besides drinking? Stress. Just saying. Okay, so Sheena also says she is frustrated to see Ariana supporting the end of Vanderpump Rules. Okay, so basically there was some Instagram poll about like, do you want the show to end or something like that? And Ariana appears to have voted in it on an Instagram fan poll. I guess somehow this got back to Sheena, who of course has to comment on literally everything to do with everything on the internet. And she's like, you know, I understand that she has other opportunities, you know, but for her to advocate for the end of a work project, that's a big part of my business and Lala's, you know, especially because we're moms who support our family. Okay, you got to stop with this, with the moms who support our family thing. You chose to have kids. Okay, I have a kid. So I feel I can speak to this. If I fuck up at my job and just say I get fired, I can't, like, and another person next to me doesn't fuck up and they don't get fired, they're not going to like keep me, the one who screws up, just because I have a kid, and fire the one who did nothing wrong who doesn't have a kid. It doesn't work like that. Like, you don't have more right to a job, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Sheena. And just so you know, there are billions of women who are mothers who are living in poverty. There are women who work, you know, 50 hours a week at McDonald's, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what they do to support their kids. Like, you're not entitled to this job. I'm sorry. Like, I understand that this is your job now and you want to maintain it. I get that, but that's not on anyone else except you. Do your job the best you can. And I don't think that she did do it the best she could. Like, I don't know what happened this season. I do know what happened, but I feel like Lala and her got all caught up in, like, you know, listening too much to production, and they played it wrong. I don't know what else to say. And guess what? They're going to find other ways to make money. They make money on their podcasts. Okay. Maybe it's not, like, you know, enough to sustain the lifestyle that they want to sustain. But maybe Brock could get a job. How about that? I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Okay, so Sheena is frustrated with that. Okay, whatever. So there's also a blind item going around that says apparently Lala thought she was going to get a spinoff to discuss her quote-unquote life event. but she isn't because her Q rating isn't good enough. So I guess the life event would have been like leaving Randall and then getting pregnant on her own. I think that's what the blind is saying, because the blind like doesn't say exactly what the life event is. A Q rating, in, if you didn't know, is, according to Google, a measurement of the familiarity and appeal of a brand, celebrity, company, or entertainment product. Well, of course, Lala's Q rating is low. I mean, like, nothing makes more sense than that. All right, in other news, Tom Sandoval has filed an objection to Rachel's lawsuit. However, it's not really going to work out for him. So let me tell you a little bit more. So he filed an objection to the lawsuit, and for the most part, the judge overruled the majority of the objection. So Rachel's lawsuit will move forward, but the judge did sustain one part of the objection, which is that basically the intentional infliction of emotional distress claim, finding that Sandoval had not acted with the intention of inflicting injury to Levis. Okay, so there's that, which, yeah, I mean, I hate Sandoval, but I have to agree. Like, I think he recorded it for himself out of like horniness. I don't think he was like intending to distribute it or intending to like get caught. Like, I think he was gonna like rewatch it and then eventually delete it, which he pretty much said that. Like, there was an interview where he's like, usually I delete that kind of stuff or something like that. And again, I'm not saying he didn't break the law, because it doesn't matter whether you intended to distribute it. You can't do that, which is, again, why the rest of the lawsuit is still going forward, because you still can't do that, right? But yeah, I can understand why they dismissed that part. However, you know, that even if he didn't intend it, he still causes emotional distress with it. But maybe that is still considered in a different part of the lawsuit. I'm not sure. I'd have to look closer again. Okay. And apparently as well, there's another kind of tidbit floating around online. I can't even remember where this came from, but there's rumor floating around that Lala and LVP worked together in season 6 to expose Jax's cheating, and that Lala has some kind of deal with producers. So the reason this is coming up now is because people are kind of saying like Lala has always had a deal with producers. She was sort of like brought on the show. Producer plant has kind of always done their bidding and has made deals with them to get certain advantages, which I could believe that. Because if you look at the seasons of where she wasn't sharing Randall and she was hiding a lot of that, you know, there were conversations at reunions where the cast seemed pissed about like Lala not having to share as much and getting mad at her and not like putting in the work that they are with sharing their lives because she doesn't have to have a relationship on the show, right? So that does come up. So I do wonder if, you know, the cast didn't love that. And maybe that's another one of the reasons why it was so hard for her to like break into their circle in terms of friendships. Because we always just kind of chalked it up to like, oh, they don't want to be friends with her because she's like a home wrecker or something. But it could have also been that. So where am I? Okay. Apparently, Billy Lee and Sandoval are no longer speaking, according to Joe. Joe's another one who's got lots to say. So Joe implies that it's due to Sandoval's new girlfriend, who then posted a response on social media saying it's not. So I guess she does use social media. Sandoval keeps trying to make it out like she never does and she's not active on there at all. And I'm like, I don't know about that. But speaking of Joe, she told Kristen's boyfriend one of the first things that she said when she met Luke was that she knew Aaron Rodgers. Interesting. And that she was his hairdresser and that she would cut his hair and that, and she told Luke that he flies her back to Wisconsin to do his hair. And like, Luke is like, no, she told me this directly. Like, this isn't something like Kristen told him. Like, he met Joe and she said this to him. So he was shocked, Luke, when at the reunion, she was like, do you know Aaron Rodgers? Like, to Andy, like, oh, can you introduce me to Aaron Rodgers or whatever? It's like him and Kristen were both like, what? right? So again, they're just kind of trying to say like Joe makes up these random lies. And this is kind of supported by Schwartz, because Schwartz recently in a podcast interview was talking about how, you know, some of the reasons why he distanced himself from Joe. So he said she makes up lies. She's a compulsive liar. You know, Brittany agrees because this was on Brittany and Jax's podcast, and basically says when Kristen's dog passed away, I guess Joe was telling people that, or sorry, Brittany says this, sorry. When Kristen's dog passed away, she was telling people that, oh, Brittany and Jax told me that Kristen's dog passed away. And Brittany was like, what? She's like, we don't know her. We don't have her phone number. We don't talk to her. Like, it was just a weird, random lie to make up for no reason. And Schwartz was like, yeah, exactly. Like, she'll make up these, like most of the lies she makes up, they're benign. Like, they're not, like, they're nothing necessarily that's going to hurt someone, but it's just like, why are you making things up? But he said that some were malicious and that he does feel she was like manipulating the audience, which I agree. Schwartz says the first time that he was like, oh my God, was her on a live saying that she's his soulmate. And he was like, oh, right. And he says that when they first started, he first started pulling away was when they started filming, because she made up something about like, oh, like I'm not too worried about how things are going to go with, you know, being on the show because I am babysitting for one of the producers. Okay. So then Schwartz ended up asking the producer about this, who was like, no, I've never even met her. Because I guess this is before filming started. So he was like, what the fuck? Like, why would you make that up? Basically, she also called his family and said like some fucked up things. He said that like her, Joe and his sister were really close. They like formed a bond. They really liked each other. But I guess like his sister was like pushing him towards Joe, like, oh, you should date her, like more seriously. And then they went and I don't really know what the situation was, if it was a trip or what, but basically Joe and his sister spent two nights together. And after this, Schwartz's sister blocked Joe on everything and was like, I never want to like talk to her, see her again. And she called Schwartz and apologized for trying to push Joe on her. So yeah. Oh my God. I would love to know what happened on that trip with Schwartz's sister and Joe. Wouldn't you love to know? I would love to know. Oh, maybe it'll come out one day. So then Kristen is also responding, you know, to things that Joe said at the reunion. So Kristen is like, well, you know, she's saying this whole thing about how basically like Kristen like pushed Joe to stay with Schwartz because like she had COVID or it was going around their group of friends or whatever the case was. And Kristen is like, no, that is not at all what happened. And then on Kristen's podcast, she pulls out texts and starts reading them and the kind of timeline of it. And basically there is conversation between Joe and Kristen about COVID, but it's like 3 or 4 weeks before Joe moved in with Schwartz and has nothing to do with that. And they like have a conversation with like, oh, I think I was exposed, or oh, I might have, or something like that. They don't text for like 3 weeks, I think it was. And then, you know, all of a sudden Kristen's like, the next text is me texting Joe being like, what the fuck, you're living with Schwartz, or something like that. So she's like, those two things had nothing to do with each other. Like, she's just trying to like, you know, make them related when they're not. So basically Kristen is like, that's a lie. I have these texts. They're saved. Like, I have receipts, whatever. And Kristen was just kind of like, she's sort of trying to like scapegoat me here, right? So the lies are just on and on. Okay. Meanwhile, Joe is now on Rachel's podcast, which is basically a complete joke in my opinion, and claims her and Schwartz were in a committed relationship or doubling down on it, which, listen, do I think Joe is a compulsive liar? Yes. Do I think she's anyone who any of us should like really take what she says to heart? No. Do I also think it's possible they were actually dating? Yes. Now, maybe, like, I think it's probably they had a different view of it. Like, they were dating and, you know, she thought it was more serious than he did, or she wanted it to be more serious, but they dated. Okay. Maybe it wasn't like official girlfriend, boyfriend, but they definitely dated. But the committed relationship, that might be a stretch. I think the truth is in the middle somewhere. And I think that obviously Joe lies a lot. I mean, I would say Schwartz lies a lot too, though. But he just lies in a different way. His is more like long-term gaslighty type of stuff. So on Kristen's podcast, Schwartz said basically, this is on a different topic, by the way. Now we're talking about Lala and just the way she's acting this season. And Schwartz basically says that you have to give Lala some credit for showing up and doing the work. But at the same time, he says it also inherently detracts from the reality. He says, like, breaking the fourth wall, all that kind of stuff, it jeopardizes the show because it jeopardizes the authenticity of it. Which, that's true. But I think Lala's doing that no matter what at this point. In other news, in nicer news, I guess, Something About Her opens, yay, to crazy lineups. They ran out of product at one point and they had to unfortunately tell people who were, you know, outside waiting, which that happens, especially when you have like a new place that has a lots of buzz and craze. You get those things, people line up for hours and they hope they get something or whatever. There was some like dumb reviewer on TikTok complaining about not getting a sandwich or saying that, oh, while we were waiting in line, they should have been handing out free samples, which is just so stupid. This person has obviously never worked in the restaurant industry for one day in their life, because when you have people waiting around the block, you don't, and you only have a certain amount of product, you don't start giving it away for free. That's what kind of a business? This isn't charity. This is a business. Okay. Then LVP was asked why she didn't go, because there has been no LVP sighting. Andy was there. Lindsay Hubbard was there. Kristen was there. Lots of people there, but we have not. And even like people who weren't there gave shout outs, like Schwartz gave a shout out, etc. Nope, no LVP. So she was asked and she says, oh, well, she likes to give restaurants a minute before she goes. She's like, give them a minute, you know, to like adjust and get it together. Bullshit. Some are saying it's because she just doesn't like them and she doesn't support women, which that's probably part of it. The other is because some people are speculating that it's because they have a different wine company that is the wine they are carrying at Something About Her, and it is not, you know, one of Vanderpump's wines. Could be. Could be. Now, they did pair up with Loverboy, so they are carrying Loverboy at Something About Her, which I think is very smart. Whether Loverboy's tanking or not, I mean, that's not Something About Her's problem, but just the whole, like, the branding is so great, Something About Her, and then Loverboy, like, it just works. And it's all Bravo, so, you know, people, already you're going to get a lot of people going there who are Bravo fans, so, oh, I can also try, like, you know, the Loverboy drink, like, it just makes sense. It's just a good idea. Okay, let's go on to some Real Housewives of Atlanta news. So they are filming, and apparently producers have had to stop filming in Portia's marital home. Okay, so I had it saved here. Okay, so producers have stopped filming in the marital home until a judge who's overseeing her divorce from Simon Gobadia agrees. There is no logical or rational reason as to why husband now seeks to prohibit wife from filming at the marital residence, other than in an attempt to retaliate against wife and intentionally restrict her ability to earn a living and expand her career, her lawyer said in a recent court filing, as reported by Radar Online. So basically a judge has to agree to that, to what the lawyer said, which I hope they do, because, you know, so that she can earn a living and make an income, right? Like, I don't know. Listen, Simon seems like a controlling, I don't know, asshole who uses money, you know, to get women and to control them and whatever. But at the same time, it's also hard for me to have a ton of sympathy for Portia here because I don't know. It's like the situation is a little bit Lala-ish in the sense of like, you knew who this guy was. You knew this guy is like a rich guy who, you know, left his other wife for you and cheated on you for a year with her, according to her. And yes, I know she possibly cheated on him too, or there was some overlap as well. But again, it doesn't matter. Right. Like, and it's like, he's also like this kind of guy who's like, uses his money to get women. He seems like maybe he's got some legal issues. He hasn't been able to get into the country or get a citizenship, and seems like he's involved in some shady stuff. And like, you were willing to overlook all of that to like get with him, to get the money. You got all these presents from him. She's posting them on social media. She's lying on top of cars and like showing off, etc. And it's like, and then now that he's being, you know, an asshole to you, and you know that now that he's like, you know, I guess the material things are no longer enough to sustain the relationship in any way, and you know, it's like, okay, now I want like sympathy and to be the victim. And again, I'm not saying she can't be the victim. I don't know what went on. Maybe he's like abusive. I have no idea. However, as of now, it just seems like, did you not see this coming at all? Like, it's just, I want her to be done with him and moved on from him and be able to make her own money. But it's just hard for me to really feel bad for her that much. Because it's like, come on, you knew what you were getting into. Like, it's hard for me to believe that you didn't. It's really hard for me to believe that you didn't know. Like, it's like, it's the same thing with Lala and Randall. Like, how did you not know? And you knew, but you decided to overlook it. That's the thing. You decided to overlook it because you were getting some nice stuff. Like, and that's a tough thing to admit. It's a tough thing to admit. And it's a tough thing to say, yeah, I probably, I'm kind of realizing now that the stuff wasn't worth it because this guy's a real piece of shit. And that's kind of what you have to say. I think if either of them said it in that plain language, I think a lot of the audience would be a lot more forgiving. Like, yeah, I did. Instead of like trying to make it out like it was like this authentic love story. Okay. Where you just like got your heart broken. Meanwhile, Shamia, who is a new cast member, by the way. So, you know, we've seen Shamia on the show. She's been a friend of, she's like Portia's bestie. But she got a new Rolls Royce from her man. And she posted a video of it, and Simon comments, "Congratulations, I'm so happy for you. My brother Gerald has excellent taste in fine automobiles. Looking forward to watching the only cast member with a Rolls Royce," with a laughing face emoji. See, I mean, that just shows, right? Like, it's all about the things and the stuff and the money, you know what I mean? And so Kenya replied, which I loved, and she was like, "Simon, I have a Rolls Royce, but I bought my own," which I thought was hilarious. And then Portia also replied saying, "Simon, don't forget, and a debt-free husband who is a U.S. citizen," which I was like, okay. So then I'll get back to that. So Portia's like, "My bestie is winning. Welcome to RHOA, queen." So that's great. Support your best friend. Love that. But the part where she's like, "debt-free husband," I was like, so you're kind of admitting that like, you were with him for the money. And then when you found out he had debt, you were like, bye. Anyways, okay. Let's go to RHOC. Because Tamara was on her podcast talking about the whole thing with Ryan. So Ryan is Jen Pedranti's fiance, who is, you know, caught up in this whole like serious thing, which I talked about it a little on the last episode, but I understand more what's happening. Basically, there's a baseball pitcher who pretty much his money was being stolen by his translator. So he has a translator and, you know, I guess he's being told things or manipulated, whatever, by this translator who is using his money, like straight from this guy's account, to pay off his gambling debts, the translator's gambling debts, right? Now, apparently one of the bookies that was being paid with this money was Ryan. So there's that. Now this, so Tamara's commenting on this. Okay. So apparently Ryan has, from what I've heard, I don't know how true this is, but what I've heard is that Ryan has made a deal with the feds and he's going to be like basically singing like a canary in order for immunity and protection, which that implies that he has some illegal activity happening. It may not necessarily, like, it doesn't necessarily mean that Ryan knows the money was coming from the pitcher's account, but I don't know. It does imply that there's some other illegal activity happening with Ryan, which I think there is. So basically, Tamara on the Two T's podcast was like, this is disgusting. It's on CNN, ESPN. You know, it's serious. And she's like, I didn't sign up for Mob Wives. This is RHOC. Okay, Tamara, like, I know you didn't sign up for Mob Wives, but like, just, is this just Tamara jealous? Like, I don't know what this is. This Tamara jealous because Jen's going to have a better storyline than her? Like, that was my first thought. Cause I'm like, usually Tamara would love something like this. Like, she'd be foaming at the mouth. Maybe she is. This is just her way of playing it up. Like, this is her getting involved in it. Right? Because she's not involved in this storyline, but now she is. Cause now she's calling out Jen. And now Jen's pissed at her, which Jen totally took the bait and posted about it on Instagram. And now Tamara's got a new feud. Yes, that's what she's doing. I just figured it out. Okay. So, God, Tamara's good at this job. I'm sorry. I don't care what anyone says at her. About her, she went a little too hard last season, came off a little inauthentic, especially at the beginning with the whole fuck a duck thing, but she still manages. She really manages it. So Jen responded on Instagram and basically said that what's actually disgusting is that she just had to have a talk with her daughter who asked her, what is the mob? So I was like, well, okay, I get what she's saying. Like, I guess her daughter heard that clip of Tamara. But, I mean, we're putting some of the blame on Ryan, right? For being involved in this, are we not? Because your daughter wouldn't even have the mob question to ask if it wasn't for, okay, anyways. Then Jen also posted like an Instagram story being like, how old are we? Thirsty much? Like about Tamara. Yeah, she's thirsty, Jen. I don't know if you went back and watched the old seasons. You probably should. All right. So let's talk about the Valley. So Sheena, God, we're back to Sheena. Sheena has basically Janet on her, I don't know why I said basically, has Janet on her podcast and asks her what she thinks about Jax making a social media comment about Nia and Danny. So basically somebody tweeted or posted about how like Nia and Danny are such an amazing couple and they added Jax. And then Jax responded and he was like, oh, well, we'll see how this ages. Okay. So Janet says that she was warned that the most perfect looking couple or whoever like comes off the best is going to be who Jax will go after, which that's accurate. Whoever warned you of that was right. In other news, and you listen, he can go after Danny and Nia. But listen, if they have nothing to go after, he'll flop because Jax isn't that smart and he does flop. Not always, but quite a bit. He does. He's not that great at it. Like he tried to do it with Tom and Ariana on his last season of Vanderpump Rules. And they did. They were having issues and they were hiding them. And he still flopped at it. So, okay. So Brittany posted a pic on Instagram with the publicist, like her former publicist or her and Jack's publicist or whatever the hell. The publicist that he took kind of like a questionable picture with when he was in Montreal. And also the publicist who, like, people have, you know, speculated that he slept with in a bathroom. That was on Reddit, by the way. And Sheena commented in caps, WTF. Which, again, to me, this is Sheena auditioning for The Valley. Like, guys, Brittany called me, gave me all the tea, you know? I don't know. Janet said on a podcast that Zach and Kristen wish she wouldn't have a healthy pregnancy. Okay. When I saw this, I was like, what? And this has been blowing up. So then I listened to it. And at first I was like, okay, people are like clickbaiting this headline. So she says, Kristen really wasn't there for her during her pregnancy, wasn't checking in, being kind and supportive. I was like, okay, that's not really like saying she, oh, I hope she has a miscarriage. Like, it's like, let's not go crazy. However, then we get to the end of the clip. So let me finish. So then, you know, so she says she's not hiding behind her pregnancy, but, you know, pregnancy's hard and she just wanted people who are with her to be supportive and who wish the best of her. And then by the end of this podcast clip, Janet says she wanted to be around people who wanted her to have a healthy pregnancy and a pregnancy that would come to full term. And that it was clear that that wasn't Kristen and Zach. So I was like, oh, okay. So you are implying, like, you're strongly, not just implying, you're saying, I wanted to be around people who wanted me to come to full term. That's a roundabout way of saying they wanted you to miscarry. Like, what the fuck? There is clearly something Zach said that Janet's mad about. But did he say he wanted you to have a miscarriage? Like, that's pretty extreme. Maybe he did. It's going to come out. I don't know. But as of now, I can only go just based on what I've seen and what seems to make sense. And I just the way she said it in that roundabout way kind of makes me feel like maybe, yes, they weren't supportive during the pregnancy and they were making her life harder. But it seems like she's pulling out the conclusion of like taking it to this extreme of like, oh, they don't want me to have a healthy baby. They don't want my pregnancy to go well. And she's phrasing it in that way. It's very manipulative. Okay. I don't like that. Now, Kristen responded, basically saying this is untrue. She's had a pregnancy loss and I would never say something like that, which, yeah, listen, Kristen can be absolutely crazy. I don't think she would say that. I just don't. I don't know about Zach. I don't know him well enough to make a judgment. But I mean, that's a nutty thing to say. So whatever, I guess. See, this is why we need a reunion. Bravo. But I mean, this is all going on social media. They're starting filming again, right? Like for the Valley. So hopefully we'll get some answers. Okay. So this is a big story. I don't know why it's so late in this podcast. It just is because I don't know. I didn't put enough thought into my order. But anyways, sorry. Catherine Dennis has been arrested for a DUI after a 3-car collision in South Carolina. So apparently she was, you know, glazed eyes, slurring, that kind of thing. She also had an open container in the car. And let's not forget, she was a suspect for a hit and run in a school zone in 2023. So a surveillance tape was released by police. And basically she's clearly drunk, not necessarily hammered, but it doesn't matter, but she's clearly drunk. And she's like, you didn't even do a blood alcohol test. And she's like, fine, maybe I don't have the best balance. Cause I guess this is after they did like the roadside test. And she's like, just ranting at them that they're really fucking up her kids' lives and it's like fucked up to do this and she's a mom and stuff like this is going to affect her kids and they're treating her like she's an animal. And then he goes to put her seatbelt on and she starts yelling like, don't touch me, you're disgusting. I mean, I watched it, like he's, you know, she's just, it's sad. Like, it's actually sad to watch. Cause then she has a puppy in her car or her dog or whatever. They take it out. She starts bawling. She's like, don't take my puppy. Please don't take him to the shelter. Like, it's actually so sad. Listen, I'm not saying it's sad in that I feel sorry for her or that she's a victim in this situation. That's not what I mean. I just mean she's an addict. She's a victim of like her own addiction and mental health issues, right? She absolutely should not be drinking and driving. And being an addict or an alcoholic is not an excuse because you can kill someone. Okay. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, addicts, they don't think outside themselves. That's what addiction does. It makes them only think about themselves and their addiction. It's sad and it's a fucked up thing, but it's true. And she's only thinking about herself. She could have killed someone. And it's sad that she's gotten to this place in life, right? Like when you look at her, like season one of Southern Charm, like she had potential to have such a better life. And I do think that one of the reasons she went down this road is because she was like really fucked up by this like predatory older man, Thomas Ravenel, you know, but again, that is part of it. But she still is a grown adult now and has to take responsibility for her actions. So, yeah. So, okay. Very sad story. And also just like, ugh. Okay, so let's talk about Beverly Hills. Because there's a little bit of tea about PK and Dorit. So Jeff Lewis was on Two Teas and says he has a mutual friend with PK. And he's known for a while that they're living apart, long before Erica Jane at BravoCon. So listen, I know Erica has gone with this whole storyline of like, she was just guessing, I'm a showman, I was just trying to give the audience. No. She probably knew, just like all of them knew, that Dorit and PK were living apart. But she couldn't say anything because Kyle, Dorit, and Erica still have their little Fox Force 5, whatever the remainder of them have. I think they definitely have a little pact. I really do. And they have to like fulfill their pact. But I think, you know, Erica got sucked up in the moment and she was like, well, you know, I'll say this, but I can walk it back. So, you know, Dorit won't be able to be too mad at me for too long, which she did. So Jeff Lewis says, you know, he knows. And it was definitely before Erica said that at BravoCon and that he's been living in a hotel. So there's that. So yeah, Dorit is a liar and the Beverly Hills women do not show their authentic lives. Not shocking at all. There was also a blind that's implying that Sutton will be on Dancing with the Stars. I think Sutton should not go on Dancing with the Stars because, not because I don't like her, but I just feel like she has such skinny legs. I'm worried she's going to get hurt. I feel like she's so fragile. I just feel like she's so delicate. I'm like, she's going to break. She's so like little. I don't know. Maybe she'll be fine. Maybe I'm totally wrong and she'll kill it. I don't know. I just go on Sutton, but you be careful. Okay. Cause I like Sutton. I don't want Sutton to get hurt. Okay. So last is Lisa Rinna shades Kyle and Dorit with an Instagram story that says, oh, look who's still together, with a picture of her and Harry. Oh yeah. That's such, so proud, Lisa. Of course he stays with you. You let him go to Canada and have sex with girls in like their 20s and do whatever he wants. And you're like, just like, as long as it doesn't come out publicly and I don't look at it, I'm good with it. Like, it's easy to stay married when you do that. Okay, so one last final thing. Because new Ronies come in, they've been filming. They're done filming, I think, maybe, or almost done, I'm not sure. So Sai was on Jeff Lewis's podcast and she got caught in a little hot mic moment. Basically, the woman next to her on the mic is asking her, oh, like how to go with Rebecca this season, like Rebecca Minkoff, who we know is a new Real Housewife of New York. And Sai goes, it's fine. Like she's nice, but like kind of boring. And she doesn't realize that they're recording. And then you hear the producer over the mic be like, just so you guys know, we're still recording right now. So please don't say anything you don't want. And you see Sai's face like, oh, shit. I also thought it was kind of funny for Sai to call someone else boring. Just the hypocrisy of that. I don't know. Listen, Sai, we will be the judge of who's boring. Because who doesn't get to judge who's boring is the new cast of Roni. You guys don't get to judge who's boring. You just don't. Okay, that's like Tom Sandoval gets to judge who's like a cheater or immoral. I mean, he does it, but he shouldn't. Okay. Okay. So you are now in the know for everything Bravo. Thank you so much, everyone, for your patience with the news episode. If you're looking for the Vanderpump After Show recap for Reunion Part 2, it's already up. Go check it out. Please leave a 5-star rating and a great review. I would love that. It means the world to me. Thank you for being listeners, for being here, for, you know, helping the podcast grow, and just, you guys are the best. Enjoy the rest of your week, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoAndBotox, and for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at Bravo and Botox, and at The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoAndBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.